Well, here we are 12 days into 2025, all feeling refreshed. Yes, is the right answer. Got all your goals set for the year? No? You want to talk to goals, talk about goals, talk to Dave afterwards. Apparently he's got 8 categories this year. Got our new calendars, new diaries if you use a paper diary, and all raring to go. Yes, come on, 2025. Well, as most of you are aware, we've had some time off and we've just returned this week, actually partway through the week, from spending some time in Melbourne and down in Geelong with family and friends. We had a nice time away. It's not really, you know, a relaxing time, but it's good to do nothing. We celebrated Anissa's 21st while we were away. As I said, we caught up with our family and our friends. We did a few park runs. I propagated some plants with my mum, which brought me a lot of joy, read a couple of novels, did a fair bit of walking with Dave, and I slept a lot. A lot. In fact, on more than one day, I had 2 nana naps in a day, and I still managed to sleep at night. A few days in, I realised, and I had to admit to myself and perhaps to some of my family, that I was actually really tired and that I needed to rest. Well, December and the Christmas season here were very busy, but all fantastic, and I loved it all. But I think it finally caught up with me. My mother sometimes can be a little bit rude and said, you know, you are getting older. So I decided just to accept it and to rest and to enjoy the nana naps that I could have. But as I mentioned at the commencement of the service, last week Sarah introduced this theme about the rest of the year. And she spoke, if you watched online, about accepting the invitation from Jesus to come to him. And specifically she talked about these verses again that I mentioned earlier from Matthew 11. And in the Message paraphrase, which she read, it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." This is Jesus talking. "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Well, when I heard this again, and I'll be honest, I heard it on Monday. We were at Ringwood Core in Melbourne on Sunday. I thought, yes, I am a bit tired, and yes, I am a bit worn out. But no, I'm not burned out on religion. But I was taken again by these words that say, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I, Jesus, do this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." And I just love this idea of rhythms and how we practice these in our lives. But this is not the only place, of course, that rest is mentioned in Scripture. And we heard just a few moments ago from Genesis, the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 that Malachi read to us earlier. And in Genesis 2:2, it says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." On the seventh day, he rested. But here's the thing, God didn't rest because he was tired. He wasn't exhausted from all his creating. He didn't need what perhaps we might these days call a mental health day, so he needed to have a day off. God never stops working. In fact, Jesus alludes to this in John's Gospel in chapter 5, when the Jewish leaders were concerned that Jesus had healed somebody on the Sabbath. And in his defence, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." But God rested to show that his creating, his creation was done, and to give us a pattern and a model and the blessing of rest. Not because we are tired or burned out, but so that we can develop healthy rhythms, perhaps change our routine, even shift our focus. Which brings me to this point, that rest is a time to connect with God. Eugene Peterson, the writer of the Message paraphrase of the Bible, says this: Sabbath is that uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing. Uncluttered time and space. How many of us experience that in our daily lives? I'm not going to go on this morning about how busy life is. We all know it. We all experience it. But instead, I want you to consider, when was the last time that you could honestly say that you distanced yourself from your own activities enough to see what God is doing? I don't necessarily think that there is a right or a wrong way or place to do this, but I do believe that it's necessary for us to intentionally create time and space to connect with God. Some people that I know of have a chair in their house that they like to sit in. Some people like to walk. Some like to be by the ocean, by the hills. We've heard this morning about people being outside in creation, in your garden, looking at nature. Where is that space for you where you distance yourself from your own activities? I'm one of those people that can easily connect with God outside in creation. My family, Dave and Josiah, and even my parents experienced this of me again just on Tuesday, when I strongly encouraged all of us to go on a day trip to here, which is the Redwood Forest in Warburton, about an hour from my parents' house. You can't see too much of my legs. That's good. I was going to say excuse my legs. And also excuse that my husband looks very, very grumpy in that picture. I'm telling you, he had a great time. But these Californian redwoods were planted about 90 years ago, and truly they're quite captivating, aren't they, Josiah? Yes, is the right answer. And if I had been by myself, I possibly could have spent hours wandering around. The forest itself is not very big, but there's beautiful like stream that goes through, and there was just so much kind of tranquility and peace and space. Some of my family were not as excited about the trees as I were. In fact, I was flicking through the photos on my phone when we got back in the car, and my mum said, "Kylie, all those trees look the same." And I said, "No, Mum, they're different." But this is a place for me where I can connect with God, take myself away from my normal activities. In his book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader, Peter Scazzaro says, "There are some things God can deposit into our souls only when we unplug completely from work and rest." God modelled the Sabbath rest to us so that we can develop healthy rhythms and we can connect with him, and so that he can deposit into our souls. The second thing that these verses in Genesis remind me of, is that rest is actually an invitation of enjoyment. This may seem a little bit like a strange idea to you, but I do not believe that the Sabbath rest should all be morbid and by yourself and secluded. You know, all through the story of creation recorded in Genesis 1, we read the words, "And God saw that it was good." Until we get to verse 31, which says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." To me, it's almost as if God paused and rested out of perhaps exhilaration and triumph. He saw that it was good. He saw that it was very good, and now he could enjoy it. The Jewish people, even many today, have quite strong traditions around the Sabbath. But this is still filled with enjoyment, enjoyment of good food, of time with family, of worship, and of prayer. Sabbath rest is perhaps a time for us to lift our eyes from some of the things that might be weighing us down and look again for the positives, for the good, for the hope. It might even be an invitation for you to do something that brings you joy. I'm sure that many of you will remember the swimmer, the Australian swimmer, Hayley Lewis, who represented Australia in swimming in the 1990s. You may also be aware that her son, Kai Taylor, won a silver medal at the Paris Olympics in 2024. And it was after the Olympics that I started to follow Hayley on social media, specifically on Instagram. And I find her quite funny and down to earth. Some may say that she drives Dave crazy, or perhaps that I drive Dave crazy when I make him watch what she's saying on Instagram. She has these videos which just go on and on about eating cakes, which I think are very funny. Maybe it's just because I like cake. But one of the things that she's talked about this year has been what she calls a glimmer journal. And I thought to myself, what is a glimmer journal? And I'd heard her mention it a couple of times, and I thought, this does not sound like me at all. I don't do like sparkly things, and I think of glimmer as sparkle. But only just recently did she explain how she does this, and she showed a picture of some of her things in her glimmer journal. And I've really had to rethink what she's talking about. Because she said, like most of us, she can experience times when she struggles, when things get on top of her, when life is hard for her. And one way that she can work through this is to look for a glimmer in every day, to find something that she has enjoyed. She said it could be as simple as a cake, which is, you know, something she's eaten, and she writes about it. It could be time with her family. It could be her dog, whose name's Cooper, if you're interested. That's how much I stalk her on social media. It could be someone that she's met in her place of work. Lots of these things bring her a glimmer of joy. But what I love about this more than anything is that you actually have to stop and intentionally think about what these glimmers are. We talked very briefly about this morning in the sharing time, because as Christians, we might call them blessings. What was a blessing from 2024? But having to stop, even to rest and to reflect on the good things, what has brought you enjoyment? Where are the positives? Perhaps see how far you have come. This doesn't mean that everything is perfect, that you have completed all of the things on your to-do list, because let's face it, does anybody ever complete their to-do list? But you can still rest. Distance ourselves from the normal busyness of life and focus on God, who he is, what he has done, how we connect with him, what is good. Spend your rest time in enjoyment. God saw that it was very good, and he rested. And finally, rest is a gift, and it can't be re-gifted. The seventh day is a gift for us, for rest and replenishment. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. He blessed the seventh day and has given us a Sabbath rest as a gift. It's a gift that has been given solely with us in mind. Perhaps like if you were shopping for a present for someone. I mentioned earlier that we celebrated our niece's 21st when we were in Melbourne, and my sister and I were contemplating what to get our niece for her birthday. And every time we considered something, we asked questions like, do you think this is her? Does she need this? Would she like this? Will she even use this? Well, I can tell you in all certainty that when God blessed the seventh day and gave it to us, he had you in mind. So what are you doing with this gift? But because the Sabbath is a gift, it's not going to force itself on us. And like any other gift, it must be received. It's not one of those gifts, as I said, that you can re-gift or give away to someone else. Nor is it one of those gifts that should be put away in the special cupboard to be used for a special occasion or when special visitors come over. You can't save it. You either have to use it or you lose it. But I also think that those who have received the gift of the Sabbath know what the true value of it is. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, there is another encounter of Jesus and the Pharisees where once again the Pharisees are questioning Jesus' behaviour and the behaviour of the disciples. And on this Sabbath, the disciples were picking heads of grain to eat. And the Pharisees pulled them up for harvesting on the Sabbath, yet they were only feeding themselves. And then Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, gifted to the people. So what are you doing with this gift? Many of you would know that I love the Psalms and I read them frequently. And all through the Psalms, writers talk about rest, but there is none more well known than Psalm 23. And when I was looking at this psalm earlier again this week, I read it in the New Living Translation where I connected with verse 2. Some of the other translations say, "He makes me lie down." Yet the New Living Translation says, "He lets me rest in green meadows." To me, that sounds divine. God is never going to force his gift of Sabbath rest on you. But it's another invitation for you. Another gift from our Heavenly Father. So here is my challenge for the beginning of 2025. Make every effort to accept the invitation to come to him. Accept the gift of Sabbath and rest in him. To conclude this morning, I'm going to invite you to read with me the words of Psalm 23 from this New Living Translation. And as we read together, I pray that this will resonate with you as it did with me, as we know that God provides all that we need and gives to us this gift of rest. Let's read these words. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.